Okay, bismillah, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَإِذْ قَالُوا اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقَّ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ فَأَمْطِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ أَوْ ائْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ وَمَا لَهُمْ أَلَّا يُعَذِّبَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُمْ يَصُدُّونَ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَمَا كَانُوا أَوْلِيَاءَهُ إِنْ أَوْلِيَاؤُهُ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم أرنا حقيقة الأشياء كما هي آمين يا رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Alright, so yeah, moving right along to our episode for today. The ayat that I just tried to recite, ayat number 32 and 33, 34 from Surat Anfal. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we said, migrated, and then the change of Qibla took place. Most of that time between migration and the Battle of Badr, the revelation that came down became Surat Al-Baqarah, predominant part of Surat Al-Baqarah and Surat Al-Hajj. Then, of course, the Battle of Badr takes place. Now, it is important to understand that the Battle of Badr is, it officially marks the beginning of the Adab on the people of Quraysh. Every community, every settlement, every city that gets a prophet, a Rasul, to be more specific, yet they negate the Rasul. They do not respond to the Rasul. The job of the Rasul from Allah is to direct that particular community, that particular society towards its purpose. That the choice that human beings have to direct that choice in line with the purpose that they've been created for, that they do not abuse the authority, the power that they've been given, that they have attained to, the physical, biological, social struggle that has resulted in them having the peace and prosperity that they do, that this is directed in an appropriate direction. It is a requirement of life, of human life, that a prophet emerges and fulfills this task for that particular society. Now, whatever happens when, for example, a biological process, a part of your body, is not living up to its purpose, it's not fulfilling the function that it's supposed to fulfill in terms of the role that it has in the body, a lack of fulfillment of that function means that that biological organ is going to be toxic, quite literally toxic. Chemical toxicity will hamper the functions of the whole body. And it is in the best interest of the body, if it cannot repair that organ or part of that organ, that it gets rid of that organ altogether. Otherwise, the entire body dies. And so this life and death, and how instrumental death is in the progress of life, it's something biological, and we see that all around us. So when the attempts at repair are rejected by the society, in those attempts at repair, meaning the prophet that has come in to give those warnings, to let the people know, okay, this is messed up, this is cancerous growth, and we need to contain it. We need appropriate growth. We need growth which is life-enhancing, not growth which is life-denying. When that prophet is rejected, then necessarily what follows is a punishment. It is that organ has to be removed. That settlement, that city has to be amputated. It has to be resected. It has to be taken out. And that's an ugly process, a painful process. So when every prophet, every Rasul is rejected, the people who believed in them are saved, and the people who disbelieved, rejected, opposed, tortured, etc., etc., those people are subject to punishment. And this was expected for the people of Quraysh as well. Now, we don't usually recognize the Battle of Badr and everything that followed all the way to the conquest of Mecca as a punishment of Allah, because what we associate with Allah's punishment are natural calamities. And this does make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's particular role among the prophets unique, and in the history of human society, the Muslim community stands out, the Muslims of Medina particularly stand out, as a particular maturation that has taken place within humanity, that previously the kind of support that the prophets received, the number of people sheerly quantitatively was such that there was no realistic possibility of the prophets and their handful of companions to launch any sort of offense against the disbelieving, corrupt people of the land, whatever it is that they were doing. And so there was a natural calamity, some flood, earthquake, some river, or as we know in the case of Fir'aun, the river splits and then it comes back together. There was some natural calamity or the other that facilitated, that assisted the Prophet and his supporters, and the people rejecting, the people torturing the Prophet and his companions are done away with. The amputation is complete. Now that prophet, his companions, that's where the legacy of Tawheed continues from, a life-giving growth, progress in life. With Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, he does get the support of a sufficient number of people, just enough just enough to launch the punishment of Allah with human hands. And of course, the presence of the Prophet and their interaction with Allah is instrumental in this taking place, this empowering of humanity that is taking place. You do it yourself now. You do it yourself now. You know, no more earthquakes and floods. It's human beings. And of course, especially after the Prophet, there is a risk in this empowering as well, that this power will be abused. And we see, especially today, that it is being abused. Nevertheless, it was an important stage of empowerment. But then the question also arises that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba spent a good 12 years in Mecca. Why were the people of Quraysh not punished at that point? Why did nothing ever afflict them? Harm a hair on their head. Throughout that time period, they were allowed to do all sorts of atrocities, to the point that the people of Quraysh would stand in public, especially their leaders. They would stand in public and dare God. And this is what the ayah is quoting right here. Ayah number 32. وَإِذْ قَالُوا. And when they said, اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. That, oh Allah, if this, what this Prophet is saying, if this is true, if this is really from you, فَأَنْتَرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Then rain down upon us stones from the sky. أَوِئْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. And bring to us a painful torment. And stones from the sky is particularly significant in that sense that the adab that they were familiar with, which we see in Surat Fil, birds and the stones that the birds are actually dispatching that are that the elephants can't withstand. That too was something that they'd experience. It was in their living experience. And so it makes sense that they would bring that out in their dua. That's a legendary event that took place. And that's also significant since Abraha and his army were attacking Mecca at a very special time period. That was the year of the elephant. It was the year that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born. And why Abraha and his elephant army was not allowed to enter into Mecca? Yes, of course, it was the sanctity and sacredness of the Kaaba, but there was another reason. And that other reason is also the reason why these Qurayshi people daring God to punish them in the Meccan time period, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in Mecca, why there no adab came at that point. What is that reason? Ayah number 33. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Allah was not going to punish them while you were among them. That you, Ya Rasulullah, you, Ya Muhammad, Abduhu, Allah's Abd, you were in their midst. You were in that city. Allah says, how could I attack or punish a people and you're with them? You're in close proximity. You're in their midst. No way. Abraha and his army of elephants with all their might, don't they dare step inside Mecca. Wa anta fihim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the womb of Amina is among the people of Mecca. He's already there. And just the fetal presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sufficient to ward off a punishment. For all practical purposes, the people of Quraysh, they weren't living by Tawheed. All the evils that we've spoken of, they were there even when Abraha was attacking. Yet Mecca was not allowed. He was not allowed in Mecca. And Allah intervened. Anta fihim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was among them. Even when he and his companions are being tortured, they are being subjected to all kinds of atrocities, and these people are getting up in public, daring God, bring on your punishment. Allah did not. Why? Because Rasulullah is there. And Rasulullah is there with this compassion in his own heart that no, we need to give them more time. They need more time. The incident that we really didn't refer to when Ta'if happened, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the option. Jibreel said, if you want, we can just do away with them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, no, not yet. Not now, not for them. Maybe if not them, then their subsequent generation. No, no punishment for them. It was in his control, it was his call. The presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the honor that Allah extends to it, the sanctity that he associates with it, that even the most vile of Quraysh are not going to be punished. Rasulullah is living in their midst. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ And Allah was not going to punish them. وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ While they were still seeking forgiveness. Some people, even though it was a trickle, that trickle was enough to save them. That every now and then one person would take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seriously. Every now and then one person, two people, a couple of people here and there would respond positively to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, change their ways. That process was still continuing. And that too is associated with the presence of Rasulullah. Because they're responding to him. The idea of istighfar and what it means is coming to them through him. And so they're turning back. And so there's still a chance. Those couple of people trickling in outweigh. And again, the weightage that Allah gives to one person of istighfar or a few people of istighfar. That human resource, that these people, their mere presence signifies hope. In the face of all possible material toxicities that you can imagine, the opposition, the strength of their opposition, the animosity that they harbored, how everything within, they have the most resources and all of those resources are being directed towards making life difficult for truth, for tawheed. And yet the presence of a few people who have this attitude of istighfar signifies hope, signifies positivity, says that the community has a future, that there are still few people who are willing to change themselves. And how that willingness, if they go through with it, and when they go through with it, the strength that it brings inside of them, that these people took on their own demons, their own rigidities, their own arrogance, overcame that. And once they've done that, then these are the best people, the ideal sort, who can then take on the society as well. And address its rigidities, its stubbornness, its arrogance, its demons. They've gone through the process themselves. Those going through the process of istighfar, self-reform, self-repair, self-control, they have the strength, the power, even if they're few in number. Even if they don't have resources to flip the society around. And that is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba demonstrated. in Badr, as far as their numbers were concerned, they were outnumbered 3-1 at least, if not even worse odds than that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba 313,000 strong from Quraysh. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba, their weaponry, their armory was barely sufficient for an unarmed caravan. The initial intent was to continue that economic blockade that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had enforced against the Quraysh, that wherever their caravans go, we stop them. We take what's rightfully ours. Because now we can. And now we're supposed to. We're not turning our backs on Mecca. Although the Meccans had decided, let them be. Let the other Arabs finish them off. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. We mean business here. We're not turning our backs on Mecca. We're not letting these people get away with it. We got scores to settle. We got places to be. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ And they were still doing... And it was those people of istighfar. It was those people who trickled in and around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that formed a critical component of those 313 in Badr. How they were stronger than dozens of Qurayshis. Just one person. Because they had this capacity for istighfar. وَمَا لَهُمْ أَلَّا يُعَذِّبَهُمُ اللَّهُ Now, what's so special about them that Allah should not punish them? No more people trickling in, turning to Allah. Those doors are closed. All that's left there now are hard hearts. That only Adab can get through and penetrate. And that did take place. Those who did come afterwards were those who responded to tough love. The likes of Khalid bin Walid, Abu Sufyan himself. وَمَا لَهُمْ أَلَّا يُعَذِّبَهُمُ اللَّهُ What is it so special about them? Rasulullah is no longer there. His sacred presence. No longer sanctifies Mecca. Mecca is already a haram. It is already sacred. But it is not immune from azab of Allah. When they've treated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the way they did. What granted it its immunity was the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even as a fetus in the womb of his mother. وَمَا لَهُمْ أَلَّا يُعَذِّبَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُمْ يَسُدُّونَ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ When they hinder people from coming to the holy mosque. Allah is attacking them. Or having Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba attack them because they violated their own values and principles. What characterized Quraysh, what characterized their religion was their hospitality towards anyone, whoever, wherever, and they came. They're not living up to their own principles. وَهُمْ يَسُدُّونَ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَمَا كَانُوا أَوْلِيَاءَهُ And they're not even fit to be its guardians. They don't deserve it to begin with. What gives them the right? In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqun. The people who deserve to be its guardians are the people of taqwa. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ But most of them have no idea. Most of them don't know. And this is how taqwa ties in with ilm, with knowledge, with understanding. It's a very, it's not necessarily a religious activity. A religious responsibility, the safeguarding of a place or the custodianship of a place, even if it is a religious place, its custodianship is associated with the quality of taqwa, with the quality of ilm, both of them tied together. And how that allows the people in charge to fulfill their responsibilities the way it truly deserves. And so with Badr, the azab upon the Quraysh and the inhabitants of Mecca is officially starting. And so the victory that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 313, was a sign of that adab beginning. It was a sign of human empowering. It was a sign of so much more that was to come. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.